regulating a chemical you may touch on a daily basis. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today, the Environmental Protection Agency is set to reveal its plan to deal with a class of chemicals linked to cancer and other health problems, a set of chemicals that tend to linger. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us. How widespread are these things?
You know, they're in lots of consumer products. They're known as PFAS, or sometimes PFOA. And these chemicals are used in wrappers for microwave popcorn. They're in water-repellent fabrics and firefighting foams.
And the chemicals are on the loose?
Yes. They've seeped into groundwater and soil. They've gotten into our drinking water. And this is especially a problem around military bases that use that firefighting foam I mentioned. The EPA says these chemicals aren't manufactured in the U.S. anymore, but they are produced in other countries, and they can be in products that are imported into the U.S. And the thing is, David, these chemicals are absorbed by the human body. They can accumulate and they stay in the human body for a long time.
So not good.
Definitely not good. The EPA says these chemicals have been linked to cancer, increased cholesterol levels, and low birth weights for babies. They also affect the immune system.
All right. So possibly EPA regulation starting today.
Possibly. The Trump administration, you know, has been focused more on deregulation than regulation, but it is under tremendous pressure to do something about this. It's not clear what the EPA will announce today. In a recent interview, acting EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler did not commit to setting safety standards, but he did call these chemicals, quote, a very important threat.
Nancy, thank you. The economy is global, and there's news it could have been worse in what is regarded as the powerhouse of the European economy, talking Germany. Its official data showing the German economy did not grow last quarter, but here's the thing. The economy there had been contracting. There's a trade angle here, as the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker reports.
This weaker period for the German economy to a large extent reflects international developments. The slowdown in China and the tensions in global trade have had an impact on German industry's foreign sales. The effects are not confined to Europe's largest economy, however. The region more widely has seen growth slow markedly at the end of last year. Italy, which for its own reasons was weaker to start with, ended 2018 in recession.
And market players are likely to have read a Bloomberg News report today suggesting the Trump administration is considering extending trade talks with China for two more months past the original March 1st deadline, where tougher U.S. sanctions were supposed to kick in. We have no independent confirmation of that report. Numbers, Dow and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.4%. The S&P future, about the same. London's up 0.3%. James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to innovation and development in poorer parts of the world. One classic approach is a country might get a grant or a loan to build a dam or a train line or build rural health clinics. But for growth that sustains itself, what about a little dose of Silicon Valley-style thinking? Ifosa Ujomo is co-author of a new book called The Prosperity Paradox. He's a senior researcher at the Clayton Christensen Institute at the Harvard Business School. Thanks for connecting here.
It's an honor to be here, David. Thank you.
So you do get a bridge if you help someone with infrastructure or you pay for a dam, and that will create some jobs. But if you're talking about longer-term prosperity, you want to ignite innovation in some way. Give me a sense of that.
Well, in our research, for sustainable development to happen in many poor countries and to continue that development in rich countries, we need to invest in market-creating innovations. In doing that, the organizations that invest in market-creating innovations, they create jobs, they create the tax revenues that can then pay for infrastructure and the development of institutions that can fight corruption and introduce better governance into these economies.
Well, stuff like what? I mean, we're talking about healthcare innovations, interesting ways to approach the conundrum of bringing shelter to more people. What types of innovations are you talking about that innovation anywhere could help the poorer countries?
20 years ago, an entrepreneur by the name of Mo Ibrahim said he wanted to give cell phones to many people in Africa. And his colleagues laughed at him and said it's impossible. But he developed a business model where he made it simple and affordable so that many people could then get access to inexpensive mobile phones, and they could buy mobile minutes, literally by buying seconds worth of airtime. But he had to re-engineer the business model. Now, that has triggered significant economic development, provides upwards of about 4 million jobs in on the continent today, provides about $200 billion of economic value, and billions of dollars in tax revenues.
There clearly is, though, the challenge of incentivizing innovators the world over to take on these challenges. I mean, sometimes you go to Silicon Valley and people are staring at their own navels and solving their own first world problems.
I think one of the things that we typically don't recognize is there's significant return when you invest in these types of innovations. Mo Ibrahim, who I mentioned, was able to build a company, sold it in 7 years for $3.4 billion. I don't know of that many investments that can get you those kinds of returns in 7 years.
Ifosa Ujomo is a senior researcher at the Clayton Christensen Institute at the Harvard Business School. They focus on disruptive innovation. He's co-author of the new book, The Prosperity Paradox. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, David. It's my pleasure.
And we can all agree that cow tipping is very wrong. Well, what about cow swiping? Farmers in Britain can now go shopping for cows and bulls to mate with their own livestock using something that feels like a Tinder dating app. There are profiles of 42,000 animals that farmers can swipe through on an app called Tudder, T-U-D-D-E-R. This whole thing sounds like an April Fool story, but my calendar says it's Valentine's Day. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.